Thank you very much for waiting. At this point, we'd like to start the meeting for fiscal year 2018 earnings report and explanation on the progress of Toshiba Next Plan and the proposals for the selection of directors. Allow me to introduce the speakers. Mr. Nobuaki Kurumatani, Representative Executive Officer, Chairman and CEO. Satoshi Tsunakawa, Representative Executive Officer, President and COO. Masayoshi Hirata, Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Executive Vice President and CFO. Hiroshi Fukuchi, the President, Toshiba Device and Storage. Taro Shimada, the Director General of the Cyber Physical Systems. I'll be serving as a moderator today. My name is Ishiyama. I'm from the Corporate Communications Division. First, we'd like to invite Mr. Hirata to speak about the overview of the fiscal year 2018 earnings. Thank you very much. I'd like to explain about our fiscal year 2018 consolidated business results and the forecast for 2019. Please take a look at page 2 of the material. We have added a paragraph about Toshiba Memory to our forward-looking statements as written there at the bottom. Toshiba is not involved in the management of Toshiba Memory and is not provided any business results forecast. Therefore, please be reminded that the future earnings outlook, which I will explain later, does not include the impact of Toshiba Memory. Please take a look at page 5. I'd like to highlight the key points in terms of sales. Infrastructure systems and solutions and storage and electronic devices solutions experienced sales growth, but energy systems and solutions recorded lower sales due mainly to the impact of the deconsolidation of Landis and Gear and decline in sales in the transmission and distribution systems business. Additionally, there was impact of the deconsolidation of PC business. As a result, overall sales decreased by 254.1 billion yen or 6.4% year-on-year to 3,693.5 billion yen. In terms of income, the industrial ICT solutions saw increased income, and there was also improvement from the deconsolidation of the PC business. So these were the improvement. However, operating results in all other business segments deteriorated. As a result, operating income declined by 50.8 billion yen year-on-year, or to 35.4 billion yen. This includes the impact of exchange rate changes of negative 2.5 billion yen and the net impact of emergency measures of negative 17.9 billion yen. Non-operating income declined year on year due partly to the fact that there was a gain from the sale of shares of Landis and Gear in fiscal 2017. Income before income taxes declined year-on-year by 71.5 billion yen to 10.9 billion yen. In terms of net income, in addition to the income before tax, there was a gain from sale of the memory business of approximately 970 billion yen and was up by 209.3 billion year-on-year to 1,013.3 billion yen. Please look at page 6. Free cash flow improved to 1,430.3 billion yen year-on-year, primarily due to increase in cash by 1,460 billion yen from the sale of the memory business. Equity attributable to shareholders of the company increased due mainly to gains from the sale of the memory business. Meanwhile, shareholder return through share buybacks of approximately 400 billion yen were conducted. As a result, shareholders' equity was 1,456.7 billion yen as of the end of March, and its ratio was 34% approximately. Now the shareholders' equity is higher by approximately 480 billion yen compared with the projected figure of 980 billion yen announced on February 13. This was because actual share buybacks was approximately 400 billion against the planned 700 billion. And because we did not book a loss on sale of the LNG business, as you are well aware, we did not record a loss on sale of the LNG business. I will skip pages 7 and 8 as I have already explained their contents. Please look at page 9. This shows the year-on-year analysis of operating income and loss. Operating income in fiscal 2017 was 86.2 billion. Excluding the impact of special factors such as emergency measures, divestitures, and restructuring costs, the figure would have been 90.5 billion. In fiscal 2018, impact of lower sales prices, mainly in storage and device solutions, was negative 12 billion. Impact of lower sales of emerging system, the energy system solutions, rather, having less new thermal power projects and storage and device solutions being impacted by deceleration of the data center market and sluggish Chinese market, was negative 33 billion. Meanwhile, there was a positive impact of 15 billion by procurement cost reduction, 15 billion by restructuring of industrial ICT solutions and others, and reducing unprofitable overseas bases. Also, improvement of 8 billion from the still ongoing emergency measures add up to 80.5 billion yen in operating income, excluding one-off items. From here, subtract 17 billion for business restructuring to achieve the next plan, and 29 billion for cost increases in large domestic projects and one-off expenses like goodwill impairment, and you get the 35.4 billion yen of operating income. Page 10 shows the operating income and loss compared with the previous forecast. Please take a look at the left-hand side. The figure was the operating income in the previous forecast was 20 billion. This has increased by 15.4 billion to 35.4 billion. The improvement is due mainly to decreases in structural reform costs and one-off expenses. Page 11 shows the breakdown of the non-operating income and loss. Please take a look at it later. Page 12 explains the free cash flow. As I explained at the outset, the gain from sale of the memory business is recorded in fiscal 2018. So free cash flow for fiscal 2018 was positive 1 trillion 430 billion yen, which is written on the right-hand side. For your reference, free cash flow excluding special factors such as impacts of sales of businesses, Westinghouse, free cash flow of memory business, securitization of claims was about 23 billion in fiscal 2018. So these are the special causes. As can be seen, this is a figure for 2018. The figure was a positive 23 billion.
Page 13, balance sheet. On the left, you see the assets, and on the right, you see liabilities. Overall, a downward trend of assets and liabilities related to the discontinued operations of memory business has not changed dramatically since Q3. On the left, you see the asset sites. On the top, in orange, you see the cash and cash equivalents. While share buyback and repayment of interest-bearing debt had a negative impact, proceeds from the sales of memory business worked positively. And in the end of March, leaving a cash and cash equivalents at around 1.34 trillion yen. At the bottom, you see other assets. And I have explained about this in Q3, and the figure includes 350 billion yen reinvestment in memory business. Moving on to the liabilities, if you see the top line, it indicates interest-bearing debt. In particular, we repaid the debt, and therefore, interest-bearing debt was reduced to about 430 billion yen. Business results by segment are shown from page 14, so let me highlight the important points. Page 15 summarizes company-wide results by segment, followed by details from page 16. Firstly, page 16, Energy Systems and Solutions. Year-on-year, net sales were down by 188.4 billion yen. As you can see at the middle, regarding thermal and hydropower systems, construction phase of major projects related to thermal and hydropower systems reached its peak in FY 2017, while market size itself shrunk due to the impact of decarbonization, pushing net sales by about 60 billion yen. Transmission and distribution systems business was transferred to Infrastructure Systems and Solutions, and also unprofitable overseas sites were deconsolidated, which caused net sales to decline by about 80 billion yen. Topping these, as explained before, from FY 2018, Landis Gear is deconsolidated, and therefore, it caused net sales to decline year-on-year by 150 billion yen. Operating income deteriorated by 14.3 billion yen year-on-year. As you can see at the middle, we had additional cost provision for T&D business, and also Landis Gear, which generated a profit, was deconsolidated. Therefore, these two factors impacted our operating income. Page 17 is on Energy Systems and Solutions order backlog. Year-on-year, FY 2018 backlog was down by about 400 billion yen, a 30% decline, which is attributable to our focus on selecting only profitable orders and to our efforts to contract overseas operation through restructuring. Page 18, Infrastructure Systems and Solutions. At the top, you see a public infrastructure, and centering around the expansion of social systems business, we enjoy increase in both net sales and operating income. In the middle, you see a building and facilities. While building and facilities increased net sales in overseas air conditioning business, in particular, due to structural reforms of lighting business and declined profit of elevator and escalator businesses abroad, operating income decreased. Railways and industrial systems. The transfer of industrial distribution systems business from Energy Systems and Solutions boosted net sales, but cost provision in some overseas railway systems increased, and R&D expense for railway and battery businesses to strengthen our future competitiveness rose, thus pushing down operating income year-on-year. Page 19, Storage and Electronic Devices Solutions. Please look at the middle. You see the total semiconductor. Net sales of semiconductor was down by about 5 billion yen, which includes discrete. While discrete semiconductor sales were up, system LSIs was negatively impacted by the deceleration of Chinese market. Regarding operating income, as you know that in third quarter, we have conducted impairment loss. Regarding discrete sales and profit increase, but we expanded our capacity and depreciation cost is incurred. So operating income in semiconductor was down by about 16 billion yen. Now, about HDDs, the net sales were up by about 26 billion yen. HDDs for enterprises increased, but was negatively impacted by the contraction of PC market. While resale of memory products hiked, resulting in the overall improvement of net sales. due mainly to HDDs. However, operating income was down by about 20 billion yen. Page 20, Retail and Printing Solutions. Both businesses posted a decrease on net sales and operating income. At the bottom, you see Industrial ICT Solutions. While sales of systems related to public and manufacturing sectors increased, due to the sales of related subsidiary, net sales were down. Operating income was up by about 7 billion yen thanks to the increase of sales and profit from domestic system business, as well as the positive impact of structural reforms conducted in FY17. Page 21 shows PC business under others, which was transferred in October 2018. Net sales went down dramatically, but the operating income is improving. This concludes explanation of FY18 business results by segment. From page 22, we have supplementary information. Page 23, impairment loss of nuclear technology. In Q3, impairment loss of about 10 billion was recognized. And in Q4, we mentioned the potential of 8 billion yen impairment loss. And we have indicated that in our document. But fortunately, the stock price recovered, so there is no need for additional impairment loss for Q4. Page 24. As we've disclosed in Q3, this slide shows the detailed balance of goodwill on our consolidated balance sheet. This is provided for your future reference. Page 25, a status quo of sales of LNG business Freeport. As already announced, we have terminated the sales agreement with ENN and are resuming the bidding process with third parties, aiming at transferring the business within FY19.
Please turn to page 26. This is about Toshiba Memory. So on the top left, it shows the equity earnings and loss from Toshiba Memory on a quarterly basis. So according to the speech bubble, on a full-year basis, we have the equity earnings loss, and also we have the PPA reference. PPA impact as a reference is also on the top right. We have the bid volume growth and also ASB decline situation. So we have written down the actual number. Please turn to page 27. This is related to shareholders' return through share buybacks, the report and the progress so far. So for March 2019, this is the current situation. So in terms of the total number of shares repurchased, it's approximately 110.36 million shares. Total amount of repurchase price is about 400 billion yen or so. So vis-a-vis the cap of 700 billion yen, the progress rate was 57%. On the right-hand side, we have the most recent state as of end of April. Page 28 explains about the dividend. As disclosed on the 8th of November, stating the end of March 2019 as a date of record, we will be implementing year-end dividend of 10 yen per share. Also, the distributable amount as of end of March 2019 is 708.6 billion yen, as you can tell from the chart here. Also, for the interim and year-end dividend for FY 2019, we still have some uncertainty factors, such as divestiture of LNG business. So as of this moment, they are undecided as of this moment. Page 29 onwards shows the forecast for FY 2019. Please turn to page 30, which is a summary of our forecast. The forecast for 2019 net sales is 3.4 trillion yen, operating income of 140 billion yen. So no change from the Toshiba Next Plan that was disclosed back in August 8th of November last year. And in the bottom, this is just for your reference purposes. It shows the number of the Toshiba Memory and LNG sales. This number is not included in the reference number here. So the pre-tax income is 92 billion, and the net income is expected to be zero. So for the free cash flow, right in the middle of this chart, the investment cash flow is a negative of 170 billion yen. And because in energy systems and solutions, we have a concentration of payment for the loss-making contracts where allowances were provisioned in the past. So because of that, operating cash flow will be in the negative. So free cash flow as a whole is expected to be minus of 230 billion yen. Page 31 shows the waterfall analysis of the operating income from the actuals of 2018 to the forecast of 2019. So the details will be provided from Mr. Kurumatani in his presentation relative to strengthening the core earnings power. Please turn to page 32. So starting in FY 2019, we have implemented reclassification of the disclosed segments. Especially the building solutions now will become part of the focus field, and the battery business will now become part of the new growth businesses. So they will be separate from the infra systems and solutions. It will be under direct management of Toshiba, so we can expedite the decision-making process and make better use of the company-wide resources. Page 33 shows the forecast by segment for FY 2019. The difference from the Toshiba Next Plan is listed on the right-hand side. The overall net sales and operating income, no change from the Toshiba Next Plan. But as you can tell, the middle part about device and storage solution, because of the impact from China, system LSI and discrete has been revisited in terms of the magnitude of the business. So we are expecting decline in the net sales by 50 billion yen in terms of income. And compared, in addition to the decline in the revenue, we will be conducting additional restructuring. So that will be additional cost of 7 billion yen of a negative. So overall, the income will decline by 12 billion yen. Also, for digital solution relative business, we are seeing some increase in the income. But as a whole, for the segment as a whole, we expect to see 10 billion yen of deterioration in terms of income. So OP, we have 30 billion yen of risk buffer. So that will be revised down to 20 billion. So we will retain the current plan for this year in terms of the operating income. Finally, I'd like to share with you the improvement plans for the operating income from 2018 onwards. So for 2018 and 2019, there's a difference here. So for the energy systems and solutions, the operating income is explained here. We expect to see improvement by 52 billion yen. Also, for FY 2018, we have some restructuring cost and also domestic large loss-making contracts provisioning. So that was worth about 25 billion yen or so. But that would be absent for FY 2019. Also, we expect to see impact from restructuring worth 10 billion yen. So because we spent the cost in 2018, we expect to see the effect in 2019. And also, we are conducting procurement reforms worth 5 billion yen. In addition, we are making profitability improvement through selective order intake, which would give us an impact of 12 billion yen or so. Now, moving on to infrastructure systems and solution, so we would have the impact from the restructuring as well as procurement reforms, both giving us 5 billion of impact on a respective basis. Now, for building solutions, the restructuring impact would have about 5 billion yen, and procurement and sales reforms would give us approximately 8 billion yen. Also, profit would increase by 5 billion yen due to the increase in the top line. So expect to see all-in-all increase of profit by 19 billion yen. For the retails and printing solution, because of procurement reforms, we would have an increase of profit by 2 billion yen. Device and storage solution, as mentioned, there would be additional restructuring cost. So that would be a negative of 7 billion yen. But we will be more concentrated and selective of the development resource and conduct the restructuring that would give us 20 billion yen. And we would have an impact of the procurement and sales reform, combined effect of 10 billion yen, an increase of profit by 3 billion yen due to increase in the top line. And also there would be an absence of the goodwill impairment from New Flare Technology in 2018. So overall, the profit would increase by 37 billion yen or so. Digital Solution, because of the restructuring conducted in the previous year, the profit would increase by 5 billion yen. So as for the core earnings power strengthening and its progress, Mr. Kurumatani will give you more details later. Now, in terms of the breakdown of the major business for the forecast of 2019, we have the appendix beyond page 37. So please refer to the appendix as necessary. With that, I would like to conclude my explanation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's for the earnings result. Next, Kurumatani, our CEO, will explain the progress of the Toshiba Next Plan and proposals for the selection of directors. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kurumatani speaking. Thank you for the large attendance. I'm very happy to see so many of you. For myself, I'd like to explain about the initiatives taken in the 6 months since we announced the Toshiba Next Plan last November. 6 months have passed ever since, and I'd like to speak about the kind of initiatives we have taken during this time. I will first explain about the progress of the measures toward strengthening core earnings power around the four reforms, and then talk about our initiatives toward future growth. First is figures. This shows the Toshiba Next Plan targets to fiscal year 2023. Results for fiscal 2018 has just been explained by Mr. Hirata. Forecast for fiscal 2019 remains unchanged from November, with target sales of 3.4 trillion yen and operating income of 140 billion yen. We plan to enhance our core earnings power and restore our profitability to one of the best in the industry by fiscal 2021. We'll have a catch-up in this regard. And then after 5 years, in fiscal 2023, we will target 4 trillion in sales and ROS of 10%. That would be among the best in the world in today's environment in the area of manufacturing. As for ROE, we do not receive earnings projections from Toshiba Memory. Well, in the memory industry, this is the case. And Toshiba Memory is no exception. So we do not receive earnings projections from Toshiba Memory. And we have decided that indicating plan values that exclude earnings and losses from equity method holdings would be inappropriate. Therefore, we do not disclose such figures. Toward fiscal 2023, we'd like to aim for an ROE of around 15% as indicated in the Toshiba Next Plan. Moving on to page 6. This shows the waterfall analysis of operating profit from fiscal 2018 results to the fiscal 2019 target. This has been partially explained by Mr. Hirata earlier in his presentation. On the right-hand side, you have the figure of the operating profit target. The operating profit target of 140 billion yen remains unchanged for fiscal 2019, and by steadily delivering on each of the measures presented here, we plan to achieve that amount. Fiscal 2018 results are as explained earlier by Mr. Hirata. As for the structural reform expenses, in fiscal 2019, we have taken into consideration the impact of slowing growth in the Chinese economy. There was an increase of 7 billion, especially around the semiconductors. Chinese economy have slowed. And the changing outlook for system LSI business, and decided to implement additional structural reform based on a detailed analysis, and provided for an additional 7 billion yen for such expenses. So we tried to be agile in making the changes for the monitored projects, looking into the situation. And then the impact of structural reform is calculated to be 49 billion, 2 billion higher than the initial plan. This is mainly the overall situation, but there has been some additional forecast with the integration of the sites. The impact of the procurement reform remains unchanged at 25 billion. In that respect, we are doing fine. And then the about the increase and decrease in sales, or sales reform impact, was not factored into the next plan, but this time we have factored in 5 billion yen upside. Moving into the next part, increase and decrease in sales include the impact of the slowing Chinese economy on semiconductor business and building and facilities business in terms of lower revenue and profits. As a result, the figure is shown here, negative 3.2 billion. And as a result, the 30 billion yen risk buffer accounted for in the next plan is now 20 billion. The mainly PDSC structural reform. So the risk buffer here is 20 billion. Through further increasing the impact of various reform activities, we have been really doing this on a day-to-day basis, and also with other means, we will aim to achieve the operating income of 140 billion yen this fiscal year. I will explain in more detail each of the initiatives from the next page. Page 7, concerning the strengthening of core earnings power, I would first like to talk about building the basis or foundation for promoting company-wide reform. I'm talking about the structure and the framework. To enable that, I'd like to make an explanation. Then I will talk about the specific contents of our reform activities and then explain about the monitored businesses and projects that have huge losses or high risks. I will also speak about the management of backlogs. First is about the foundation for the promotion of the reforms. The Toshiba Next Plan included improvement plan and its effect that were preliminarily examined by the CFT. So this is important so that this entire structure should be put into the culture. So we have CFT, which is cross-functional teams. The Toshiba Next Plan included the improvement plan already examined by the CFT. In order to realize this plan, we are assigning the transformation agents who are core members in the CFTs, leading the transformation of business units so as to expand this effort to a group-wide basis. So, and this way, we are able to have the company-wide initiative. Also, each of the CFTs and business units are to set the rules and processes for progress management and also goals and timelines to be reviewed monthly. It is very transparent so that everybody will be able to work on the management. Moving on to page 9. By visualizing the activities, each of the CFTs and business units are managing the progress of various measures so as to ensure their achievements. When implementing the reform, we have to start with the ideas. So from improvement idea generation phase to the harvesting of result phase, detailed progress management of each step will be conducted so that there is clear indication of how far we are from the goal and how we plan to proceed, the kind of strategies we have. So it is quite clear with this visualization activities. Furthermore, since the measures are decomposed with high granularity and tracked, if there is a delay in implementation, that can be discovered early, and next action plan for recovery can be taken with the involvement of all the top management. We call this the high-speed PDCA cycle. In that respect, we are able to say that this kind of structure would be elevated to the Toshiba culture. I believe we have progressed far in terms of changing the mindset of all who are involved in the last months. Page 10. As for the four reforms, first I explain the situation of structural reform. As for the UK nuclear power plant business, we have substantially completed the liquidation of the company, and it has been deconsolidated during fiscal 2018. For the LNG business, regrettably, the sale of the business was not completed by the end of March, but our policy of exiting this business has not changed, and we are restarting the process toward completing the sale during this fiscal year. As for the optimization of the workforce, the number of early retirement has reached 823 as of the end of March, including reallocation of personnel to outside of the Toshiba Group. We are proceeding more or less according to the original plan. Also, in light of the change in the business environment since the end of last year, we have decided to conduct additional structural reform at the Toshiba Electronic Devices and the Storage Company. Furthermore, reorganization of production bases for improved efficiency and reorganization of subsidiaries for strengthened governance are steadily progressing according to the plan. Page 11. From here, I explain about the progress in procurement transformation. This was one of our earliest initiatives, and we have traveled far in terms of establishing the operational setup, including promotion members, internal confirmation meeting routines, management tools, and so forth. And also, we worked on the systematic approaches for cost reduction. A systematic method of cost reduction has been constructed, and through the transformation agents in each business, we are implementing this group-wide. At this point in time, we are expecting a 25 billion impact for this fiscal year. It is necessary to continuously realize the effect of procurement reform. So this must not be a one-time effort, but must be made into a regular, continuing operation. In other words, this should be elevated to the corporate culture of Toshiba. Toward that end, we are holding workshops to share the awareness that continuous reform is necessary, and we issue internal newsletters to publicize the activity status and award those who have made outstanding achievements.
Page 12. This is on a progress of sales transformation. we are undertaking a comprehensive review of sales costs that would impact gross margin. Exercise includes the review of product portfolio, cost estimation process, and cost of logistics services. Right-hand chart is an example showing how we're using various analysis to reduce unprofitable product lines and review current product mix to improve sales and gross margin. Through such an effort focused on mid-volume product business in particular, we believe that there is a potential to make sales-related improvement of about 30 billion yen by FY21, an amount not included in Toshiba Next Plan. Out of this figure, however, about 5 billion yen is factored in FY19 budget as an upside potential. Furthermore, sales and marketing structure is revisited to enhance customer support, while visualization of sales and marketing activities is pursued via the implementation of CRM. Page 13, please. Lastly, progress of process innovation. Initial inventory taking exercise unveiled the fact that there are several thousand disparate systems within our company. By deploying next-generation core system, we will resolve this issue and rebuild organic and appropriate amount of system. To conduct this heavy lift, Mr. Keiichi Yumita joined us from Sony in January, and he did actually go through the same exercise at Sony before. Business Process Reengineering Division was established in February as well. Analysis of systems in all business units is underway to delineate the 2B picture. Concerted efforts are made with the Product Modularization, CFD, to improve efficiency of the design and manufacturing processes. Through these measures, we plan to capture about 50 billion yen worth of impact by FY23. Assumed impacts include cost reduction of not only procurement but also outsource expense positively affected by the shortening of design lead time as well as HR expenses. And these are already factored in Toshiba Next Plan. I understand that this is an indeed time-consuming grand scheme that people out in the field must steadily work on it, and we aim at maximizing on the potentials of each and every business so that solid foundation can be prepared for our future business. Page 14. From here onward, I will explain about risk management efforts. Firstly, monitored businesses. In line with Toshiba Next Plan, developmental cost of system LSI was reduced through narrowing down on focus areas. However, since the planned sales volume was not achieved due to the Chinese market deterioration that started in the end of 2018 and the unmet data center market target, system LSI, net sales, and operating income were down. Given this backdrop, we further narrowed down on focus areas, and at the same time, we reviewed the budget for net sales in a conservative manner. We've verified profitability by product to improve marginal profitability as well. Furthermore, we are reviewing how to improve utilization rate of production bases, thus working on profitability enhancement in a very comprehensive manner. To lower break-even point, which we believe is important, we've launched different measures, such as an early retirement program, all of which should further drive down fixed costs. With these measures, we aim at attaining an ROS of 5% in FY20. Page 15. This shows about the remaining three monitored businesses. Structure shift of the remaining three monitored businesses is progressing steadily, and we are working on improving profitability to achieve the FY20 target. Firstly, thermal power business. It is shifting from new construction to service solution model. A layout of Keihin operations is modified accordingly, and optimization of talent allocation is underway. Order backlog to achieve FY19 service business sales is fulfilled, and the plan is progressing as scheduled. Next, industrial motors. Model mix of industrial motors is under review, including the shift to high-end products. By hiking the process, or rather prices, of lower-margin products, we aim at improving profit margin. At the same time, personnel and production organization are optimized, and positive impact on profitability is becoming evident. Lastly, mobile HDD. A production capacity is aligned with the trend of demand to stabilize profitability. Meanwhile, new large capacity HDD for data centers that is under development is going well, and customers' approval is trending smoothly. We plan to expand this business in line with market growth. For all the businesses subject to monitoring, milestones are reviewed once every 3 months. Mechanism is defined to take necessary measures when deviation from the plan are identified because of the changing business environment. Needless to say, even for businesses not under monitoring now, should there be any dramatic market change and due countermeasures are thereby required, those businesses would be handled within the monitoring framework as well. Page 16. Lastly, measures to mitigate future potential losses on major projects. In the second half of FY18, we posted loss attributable to the additional cost provision for T&D business. However, as shown here, since projects that generated major losses are winding down, such loss-making projects are definitely decreasing. We believe that after FY20, impact from such projects would be negligible. And we have almost completed the provisioning for those losses in the future. While we reinforce review process of orders received, we also strengthen sales back office function so that risk on cost increase after winning the projects can be controlled. So we understand that the loss-making projects are winding down, and also we are having more new projects, and we will be able to appropriately manage them to stabilize the profitability. Page 17. From here onward, let's talk about measures for future growth. In the past decade, the internet company referred to as GAFA conducted dramatic creation of enterprise value by utilizing digitalized data. In other words, this value creation was cyber to cyber in nature. However, data, which are deemed as the oil of the future, in many cases, about 90% of the data reside in a physical world, and they remain untapped. These data are the blood of economy. Enabling the circulation of this blood is very critical. Toshiba Group has supported society for many years in this physical domain. So we provided many hardware and provided platform to our customers. So we have data from the physical hardware, and we have cyber know-how as well, and combine them to create new value. Being a CPS, Cyber Physical System Technology Company, we believe that that is the future of Toshiba. By leveraging on both traditional and future Toshibas, we want to realize our second founding.
So page 19 shows you some of the concrete initiatives underway. So we are trying to create the digital business and also conduct the implementation of digital culture. So we are conducting a company-wide activities known as Everyone's DX, or digital transformation. Also, we conducted in-house pitches back in February and March. And we had more than 80 business ideas generated from the business units. I conducted some hearings on some of the concrete ideas. Each one of them are very well thought of and quite brilliant in nature. So I do feel that the energy has become heightened towards the generation of digital business. So we need to have a diverse business domain, diverse talent, and of course we need to have the differentiating technology. Based on these assets, we believe the venture spirit of Toshiba is finally starting to manifest itself. So we would like to leverage on this. Now, for the ideas that are highly feasible, we will make them into projects and conduct concept demonstration and conduct reviews towards commercialization. We would like to continue with these initiatives. And starting this year, we would like to identify a number of seeds for digital business into the future. Now, moving on to page 20. The future Toshiba based on CPS will restrain CapEx while acquiring and matching and analyzing the data so we can shift towards more new value creation company. So IOP, Internet of People, and IoT, Internet of Things, become very important. Now, the purchase-related data, number of business model has been built based on that, and its validity has been proven. On the short-term basis, we would like to realize new values in the physical to cyber domain, which was not available between cyber to cyber. So on the right-hand side, the chart denotes the timeline and market scale of the digital business. So inside of the IoT business model, as our first phase, we would like to first digitalize the Toshiba-related data to create value on a short front. On the long-term basis, the IOP-related data would be digitalized, mainly around the health-related data. So we would like to become the platformer involving non-Toshiba-related data as well. Next page. As for the digital service to be realized on the short-term basis, we are anticipating to provide various services to the existing customers. And we are looking into leveraging on a Toshiba IoT reference architecture. This Toshiba IoT reference architecture, as you can tell, it is based on the various industry standard proposed by NIST, IIC, and ASSETEC. So we aim to provide feedback to IIRA in the future. So, of course, we will first look into social infrastructure, such as buildings, facilities, and railways, as well as the power plants, which are highly public in nature. So we would mount our differentiating technology on top of the Toshiba SpinX service and expand the service as a family. And we have recently announced the global IoT collaboration with KDDI. So we would leverage on this reference architecture to expand on our service in the future. Next is about the battery business. The lithium-ion rechargeable battery, SCIB business. So the high-speed charging capability and the longevity of SCIB, this has been highly evaluated by the customers. And since then, it's been adopted to Nissan Corporation DAZE, DAZE Highway Star, and Mitsubishi Motors EK Wagon and EK Cross. Also in India, we are working together with Suzuki and Denso to start the construction of the JV of the production. And in terms of the size, it is twice the size of our Kashiwazaki operation. We expect to start the mass production in 2020. So in the year 2030, we are looking into expanding the business to 400 billion yen. And we are steadily making progress towards this target. Page 23, this is about the power electronics. So we have the next generation power device, which operate with low power loss. And we have the strengths of systemization. And based on this, we like to grow our business. Last October, we have delivered a new series trains to Tokyo Metro. In continuation of that, also we have just delivered a new series trains to West Japan Railway Company, including combined transaction and auxiliary inverter system. So this next generation power semiconductors, they can operate at high temperature with low power loss. And it has traction motors and highly efficient and highly maintenance capable motors as well. So we can enhance the energy consumption and convenience of the railway system. So we would like to expand the capacity of power semiconductors and continue with our R&D. So we can provide the differentiating products for the power electronic system as a whole to the mobility market and social infrastructure system market. Finally, this is about the precision medicine. So we will continue joint research and collaboration with partners to seek commercialization. One example is Tohoku University's collaborated Japonica Array. Making use of this array, we have solicited approximately 10,000 Toshiba employees within Japan to apply so we can develop the genome information database. So combined with the multiple years of health check data, we can expect to forecast the disease risk as well as limit the severity. So we can realize the preventive medicine and commercialize it. We would like to work together with the medical researchers and various organization corporates to pursue with this. We would also like to incorporate insights from outside of the company. We have business alliance with venture capital and seeking synergy with venture companies. And we aim to accelerate the commercialization of in-house technology as well. We have gone through the review in a really quick manner, but as you can tell, we have shared with you the measures to strengthen core earnings power. So we can build a company where we can have a solid base to grow into the future. So we have a solid mechanism to create profit into the future. In addition to that, we have also shared with you some of the developments of new growth fields. Going forward, we would focus our activities based on cross-functional teams and continue to increase on the number of improvement items so we can solidify the path towards 140 billion yen of operating income. So we aim to provide you with the progress on a regular basis. Also, I'd like to share with you and report to you on some of the decisions made at the board meeting. So beyond June 26, the ordinary general meetings of shareholders, I would like to share with you some of the decisions being made about the management. Now, in terms of the executive officer side, I myself, Nobuaki Kurumatani, will serve as the executive officer, chairman, and CEO, and Satoshi Tsunakawa will serve as executive officer, president, and COO. So the decision has been made at the board meeting today. Also, at the nomination committee held today, at the ordinary general meetings of shareholders to be held on June 26, the committee has nominated 12 directors' candidates. Independent directors' number will be increased from 7 to 10, and more than half, i.e. 7, are newly appointed candidates for directors. So there has been quite a dramatic change to be made within the management. Our nomination committee currently is constituted of 5 independent directors. But now they have been discussing on the board composition befitting of a new growth phase based on Toshiba Next Plan. So the discussion has been underway since last year, and they have reached a decision. And the result of that, the outside board, independent board members, will be increased from 7 to 10. So they can enhance the corporate governance code based the audit function of the board. In addition, now we're looking to more of an international business experience, corporate portfolio management capability, business transformation understanding, M&A, and also expertise on capital market and capital allocation. These are important skill sets necessary to promote the Toshiba Next Plan. So in order to ensure such skill sets, we deemed that it is important to bring further diversity within the board. So based on that understanding, we have decided to revitalize the board, hence drastically change the composition. Based on this policy, since last fall onwards, at the nomination committee, various review has been made on the current composition of the board and conducting interviews with the candidate directors as well. During this time, we've conducted various dialogue with many shareholders about what would be the necessary experience and expertise required for the board. As a result of that, the number of directors would be maintained the same, 12. So around 11 has been the idea. So about 12, the current number will be maintained. And we believe that is appropriate according to the guideline. So we will maintain the number as 12. Also, the directors who would also serve as executive officer would be two. Myself as a representative executive officer, CEO, and also a COO. And also in terms of the outside independent directors, would be increased from 7 to 10, inclusive of non-Japanese directors. So also more than 7 of the newly appointed directors, they will be newly appointed out of 12. So as far as nomination committee is concerned, they will bring about new insight, a new stimulus into the management of Toshiba Corporation. So we are indeed moving on to the growth phase, and we would like to make sure that we build milestones towards that. So I myself as CEO, I will make all my effort to implement and execute the Toshiba Next Plan. We ask for your continued support towards Toshiba Group. With that, I would like to conclude my speech.
That's all for the explanation and presentations. We'd like to move into the question and answer session. If you have any questions, please raise your hand, and the microphone will come to you. So please identify yourselves, your name and affiliation, please. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. Person in the first row. Thank you very much for a detailed explanation. My name is Moriiwa. I'm from J.P. Morgan. And my question is about LNG and also energy. And there are two questions I'd like to raise. First is about LNG-related issue. So starting this year, if the business transfer will not be completed, then in that situation, in what way would you record the valuation losses? So this is one clarification question. The 20 years and the 550 billion yen, and the business size is 1 trillion yen plus. So in that situation, sometimes you might have the provision, large amount of provision. But in my understanding, you will use the single year basis. So for the 50 billion, you will work on the evaluation. For example, the 10 billion or maybe 15 billion. So and then this will be the recorded at the end of the year. Is that something that you would go do? So if you are not able to complete the process of the business transfer by the end of this year, in what way would you record the this business? Thank you. About the LNG, we record every year, the year by year. That's our understanding about the amount of the recording. Sometimes it would depend on the value of the contract. And then, as I just said, we have a buffer. So this will be taken care of within the amount of buffer at this moment. But that's how we are looking at it. Would you like to make a comment? Yes, as to how we record that in the accounting. Well, basically, we do this based on the U.S. the GAAP, and this is about the inventory assessment or the evaluation. So the starting next year in May, we will start having an activity. So there is no change in the our decision of the sale of the transfer. At the in May next year, if we ever make a different decision to the effect that we will continue having this, and then in that situation, we will have the procurement of the materials in March, and then in that situation, we'll pay attention to the amount, the value, and then some of the companies have already made the placed the orders. So again, we will look at the value of the kind of transaction. So at the end of next year, at the end of the March next year, we'll make judgment about the this kind of loss or gain. Then the next is about the loss-making contract. So could you tell us a bit about the energy issue related to loss-making contract? So 25 billion yen as of the end of the year, fiscal year 2018, which is an amount for a loss-making contract. So which is the larger, the transmission and the distribution or the thermal power? And then the reduction of the backlog is very large. So are you trying to reduce it with the strong intention? That's my understanding. But midterm to long term, what would be the level of the order placement? So what do you think is a reasonable level of the orders incoming? So could you tell us a bit about the profit, the possibilities of the energy-related issues relative to loss-making contract? Thank you. When I joined Toshiba, the first issue that we learned was this issue. And again, this is not only Toshiba, but also for heavy electric machinery manufacturers as well. It is important to work on the management of backlog. So in order for the company to recover, it is very important. That's how we have been working on it in the last 1 year or so. If there is a problem or the person in charge in the field had submitted that to me, and then we made provisions necessary for that. For the second half of the year, we have seen some the issues in the transmission and also the substations. And then in my understanding, to my knowledge, necessary amount of provisions have been already made. So that's the situation at this moment. And in the past, for energy issues, and especially energy businesses, we had sales amount of 1 trillion yen, and we tried to increase that. So we pinned high hopes on the growth of the energy business, but the situation has changed. The energy will become a service in the business, so it is important to increase the profitability. The capital, we should shift from heavy capital to light capital. So accordingly, the net sales would remain 60 billion. So in the next plan, so we are able to increase the profitability with that. So the amount of orders that we are receiving, well, we can safely say that it is the kind of orders that we are able to receive based on our capacity, and we are exerting our effort to maintain that. And so with this, we are able to say that the energy, the business would remain to be the sound with the sound effort that we exercise. Anything else? A person in the toward the end on the left-hand side? Motegi from NHK, thank you very much for taking my questions about the fiscal year 2018. You talked about the energy issue. For the transmission and distribution, you had provisions. So could you tell us a bit more about it? And then earlier, you talked about there has been the announcement of the business projection for the economy, and has been deteriorated. Could you tell us a bit about it? And also, one of the reasons is the sluggishness of the Chinese economy. The Chinese economy is very important for you. So would there be any impact for the next Toshiba plan? Thank you. For the loss-making contract for the transmission, distribution, and the substations, well, there could be some implications with our customers, so we are not able to disclose any of this. And then about the implication of the sluggishness in China, I talked about the outlook for 2019, and in my presentation, I talked about China, especially for the system LSI and discrete. The semiconductors, the figure is 50 billion yen. So that means that compared with the initial Toshiba Next Plan, the net sales would be lower. And this is very much reflected. This is a reflection of the sluggishness of China. So we have to say that the situation would be slightly negative compared with the Toshiba Next Plan, which had been announced last year in fall. My next question is for President Kurumatani. The chairman, Mr. Kurumatani, and about the decline of the index of the economy. You might have not seen this. Well, there has been the downward revision of the economic indicators. You have not seen this, but are you talking about Japanese economic indicator? Well, I have not seen this, but all in all, There could be the impact of the slight sluggishness of the Chinese economy, and also the impact of the China-U.S. trade friction. And after the Lehman shock, we have not been very much deteriorated. So that was a portfolio. About then, there had been a drop in the appliances, but this kind of portfolio is very much minimized. However, in the case of the semiconductors, they are very much affected by the overall economic trend. So that's the reason why we had additional measures with a very discreet understanding. Certainly, the economic trend seems to be declining, so that's something we are not able to deny. However, China basically has some room for improvement. I'm sure the government would work on the various measures to improve the situation. So we are not foreseeing the large decline. So there could be some ups and downs in the economy. So we should be prepared for some downs, but still, this should not be serious. Thank you very much. The person in the third row on the left-hand side.
I am Ita from GG Press. I have two questions. The first question is to Chairman Kurumatani. Upon selecting the candidates for Board of Directors, you stated that you had dialogue with different shareholders. And I understand that King Street is one of the fund who are the shareholders. And I guess there was some proposal regarding the board of directors. And in the candidate list, I do not think that you see the names of King Street Capital Management members. But is it true to understand that you did have the dialogue with King Street Capital Management to get the support for the candidates? Needless to say, King Street Capital Management is one of the important major shareholders, and we do have minor shareholders as well, and each and every one of them is very important for us. And so we have the doors open for dialogue, and we have been very aggressive in conducting dialogues with the shareholders. Different advices as well as proposals have been made by the shareholders. And amongst that backdrop, we actually listed up many candidates and selected the final list. And basically, regarding the selection of the candidates, I believe that we will be able to get basic support. Another question is to Mr. Hirata. And regarding the risk buffer for FY19, you said that the plan was 30 billion but was down to 20 billion yen. System LSI had the early retirement program. And so regarding the risk that you have envisioned, actually, those became very tangible. Therefore, it was reduced from 30 billion to 20 billion. Regarding LNG, you mentioned that the risk will fall within the buffer that you have defined. So regarding the remaining risk buffer, is it correct to understand that it is attributable to LNG risk? So regarding risk buffer, we have reduced it by 10 billion yen. As we have mentioned, regarding system LSI business, net sales went down and gross margin deteriorated as well. But we are undertaking restructuring efforts at the early stage. So we have the expenses for that. And also, what is the allocation of 20 billion yen? LNG will be sold off completely, and that is our plan. So there is no particular allocation defined for this 20 billion yen risk buffer. Thank you. I am Fukuchi, in charge of semiconductor and devices. And regarding system LSI, as mentioned by Mr. Kikuchi, in FY15, we have sold MSI to Sony, and in FY16, we were in the black. But then afterward, net sales went down, and also we had to invest in R&D. And in FY17, we conducted a different review of the business, and we have already shifted the structure, and we are reallocating personnel as well. And in terms of the demand for China, it went down dramatically. And also LSI, we were not able to get into the market segment that we wanted to get in. And so 350 people will be the target for early retirement, and we will be executing on this plan to further pursue our restructuring plan. So person sitting on the right. I am Hirakawa of Merrill Lynch Securities. I have two questions. First question. It is related to FY19, and I want to know more about the procurement restructuring. In FY18, you had the impact of 17 billion yen. So can you tell me what is the content of this impact? And on top of that, in FY19, a 25 billion yen and will be the positive impact of procurement restructuring. And so I want to know the content. And can we see the evidence starting from Q1? That's question number one. Regarding FY18, I guess that was the first part of the question regarding the procurement transformation. And you have the number of 15.1 billion year on year. And this is the impact we were able to enjoy in FY18. And about 10 billion yen is the actual improvement of direct materials, and the remaining is indirect materials. And starting from sometime before autumn, within CFT, procurement transformation has been conducted in advance. And regarding the direct material, we are seeing some impact. But the impact that can be felt more readily in FY18. And from the start of CFT, we see more evidence in the area. And in FY19, as mentioned by Mr. Kurumatani, a total of 25 billion yen is factored in. And regarding indirect material, this is still a plan. But based on the result of FY18, we want to have 5 billion yen more impact on indirect. And we are pursuing in the procurement transformation of indirect materials. And regarding direct materials, as mentioned by Mr. Kurumatani, we are managing the progress. So as compared to business as usual, you see a more impact because we are actually conducting CFT in a steady manner. Thank you. Second question. ¥140 billion is your income plan, and I understand that heading toward 2021 as well as 23, it's very important to secure this number. And being a leader, all the employees must be motivated so that they can reach this stretch goal. But given the historical background, it might be difficult to motivate the employees to challenge. And Mr. Kurumatani, for the last 1 year, you worked as a leader, and there might be some pros and cons, some areas that you were able to succeed and other areas that you have to further try to motivate your employees in FY19. Can you elaborate on this matter? I believe that Toshiba is blessed with high-caliber employees who can understand ins and outs quite readily. So the management must communicate with the employee so that the message can be understood and digested by them. So regarding procurement transformation, it's not that we tell them to do this or that, but rather we try to showcase what are the tangible examples that bear fruits. So regarding methods and target, we tell them very concretely so that the employees will be able to follow that path. And so we do not just try to encourage people without any tangible results, but we are very logical. So regarding 140 billion yen figure, we conducted a dialogue with our employees, and from macroeconomic point of view, what is the OB and what is the cost of capital? We have factored that in. But then, not only that, we try to align ourselves with what is happening out in the field. And unless there is alignment between the management and the employees, we will not be able to move forward. And we took time to strike the alignment. And regarding procurement transformation, we try to identify what are the products that we should procure from which supplier and why we can rationally conduct a procurement transition for a particular supplier's particular product. And we should have the rational background. And unless we try to focus on the logical, rational reasoning behind it, we will not be able to move forward. Talking about the framework, instead of just pointing fingers at any problems, we just be open and try to resolve issues if there are any. So if the transparency is high, we can put our heads together to resolve different issues if there are any. And so within that framework, we want to definitively achieve 140 billion yen figure. And on a monthly basis, we check the progress status, and we are very granular in terms of management. So on a day-to-day basis, we try to accumulate each and every success and the progress that we are making.
So person in the front row, three from the left, please. Shiga from Nikkei. So I have two questions to Chairman Kuruma Tatani, and also I have one question to Tsunakawa-san. First is about the sales of LNG business. So you've mentioned there's no change in the plans to sell it within this year. Are you starting to see the actual bidding process? Or can you share with us any concrete progress on negotiation? If you can share any information, that would be helpful. This might be to Fukuchi-san, but this is about the system LSI. So in 2019, are they going to turn black within this year? And I believe there will be a number of initiatives underway, but what are some of the foreseeable risks for system LSI? In terms of sales of LNG business, so based on a fairly comprehensive analysis, we withdrew from this contract and start from zero. That was the decision been made. So the demand for LNG continues to be strong on a relative basis, as many of you are well aware. So given that into prospect, various activities are underway. So as a starting point, it is going and trending well, and various negotiations are underway. That is all we can share with you at this moment. Unfortunately, nothing more than that. As for LSI, Fukuchi-san will make more comments on this, but within 2019, we would like to make it into black, and various initiatives are underway and have been taking an additional basis to turn it into a profitable business. But of course, if we were to stay in red even after taking those additional measures, we will not be able to gain the understanding of the market. So that is exactly the basis in which we are conducting these initiatives. Fukuchi-san, can you add on to that? As I mentioned briefly, so in terms of reshuffling of the employees and also reduction of the fixed cost, that has been underway. But now we are seeing demand towards China has been on the decline, and of course some of the expectations were not met. That is why we are conducting additional measures so we can bring the business into black within FY 2019. So we will try to reduce the cost everywhere possible, outsourcing and everything. So we would like to reach towards that black target. Also have a question to Tsunakawa-san. Within the next plan, at the you did not participate in the Toshiba Next Plan announcement. So I wanted to ask you again. So after 6 months, how do you perceive the progress of the Next Plan and also the new management system? Is announced. Do you evaluate this highly after all the management difficulties the company has gone through? Actually, I'm working together with Chairman. So at the time of the next plan announcement, there were some business unit heads attending. So I am more responsible for the execution. That is the reason why I did not participate in the announcement of the next plan. Now, about the question, in comparison to before, we are definitely benchmarking the competitors. We are benchmarking the top competitors, top players within the specific, each of the respective business. And based on that, we've conducted the initiatives. So we are working together with the business units on a bottom-up basis to come up with those initiatives. Also, the incentive system, that is another item. So, of course, the board members, they have been given the initiatives, but likewise with more of the management level as well. So if we reach the level of profitability of the high benchmark companies, then they will be remunerated as such. And with the Toshiba Next Plan, now we have a much clearer course in revitalizing the business. So as a way to motivate the staff, we have employed the incentive system, and we believe the system is right. Now, for the outside board directors, we have been in the crisis mode up to now. So they have been engaged trying to turn around the business, and they have been very contributing. But now we are into a growth phase now. So we were able to find the candidates, very brilliant candidates, for the next phase of Toshiba. So I myself, as CEO, I would like to work hard to make sure that the Toshiba Next Plan will be fully executed. Thank you very much. The person on the right-hand side, four from the right. At the very right row, I think there is someone who's raising his or her hand behind. From Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley, my name is Miyamoto. I have two questions. First question is about SCIB. So you deemed it as a growth business going forward. They'll be more focused towards this business. Many other players are having difficulties with lithium-ion technology, lithium-ion batteries. So what is SCIB different from them? And what is the way you are going to control the risks? And why do you think it is worth investing as growth phase? I think I answered to this question a number of times. So battery is definitely as a mass-produced products. So in the past, in this mass-produced items, the Japanese electronics companies have had some experience. So from the investor's perspective, we do receive many questions about the future prospect and what could be the possible risks. So in that sense, this area may have become commoditized and may have become a red ocean. And so if it becomes such a business model that we need to just pull in our capital in light of the price competition, that would be fairly tough for us. But in terms of our battery, we have some special features, such as the high speed of recharging, or it would not be degraded even after a number of recharging process. So we have some specific strengths that is unique to Toshiba within the battery business. So this could be positioned as more of a blue ocean business. We'd like to make sure that we can secure that differentiating factor and also secure the profitability. That is the strategy we are proceeding with. In terms of the investment, rather than investing on a standalone basis as much as possible, we'd like to diversify it on our capital. So, for instance, we may consider collaborating with the customers. So in various ways, we would always take into account the capital efficiency in conducting this business. But personally, I believe the demand is definitely rising for this particular business. So going forward, I have high prospect that this will become a very promising business. So in fact, chances are there will be an upside in the growth speed of this overall business as a market. So, of course, we have to make sure that we manage the capital appropriately and, of course, manage the profitability appropriately as well. That is definitely essential. But as a whole, in the digitalized society, semiconductors is important as a device. And, of course, battery as a component would become essential in the digitalized society. So as an item, as a product, it will continue to serve a very important role. A second question is from the perspective of a conglomerate. So Siemens recently have separated the power generation business. I think that is quite symbolic, and they're approaching this conglomerate business. So rather than having a conglomerate, I think there's been shift towards focusing on specific business, AAB likewise. So given that general trend, how do you perceive the business portfolio of Toshiba? Or going forward, do you expect to see change in line with the trend of the society? So Toshiba has been developing based on hardware business. And so, of course, we had the nuclear business, had the house appliance, the white goods in the past. But in terms of we have business that is has a high elasticity towards the economic cycle, and also the business that has highly sensitive towards regulatory change, we try to deconsolidate those. So energy, infrastructure, and semiconductor, and system solution. So the business model for these businesses, we believe it is relatively stable. So long as we can manage the risk, it can turn out to be a cash cow. And we can expect to have a stable profit generated from the business.
So in this scope, we have been working on the enhancement of the core profitability. And also, we have been working on the hardware, and this has been the profile of Toshiba. However, even if we work on that continuously, it does not lead to 10 times of the values. So cyber business is something we have been working on. Mr. Shimada is responsible for software. And so cyber Toshiba is another pillar that we'd like to propose. So with this, we are thinking of creating the values. So hardware Toshiba and cyber Toshiba should be the combination of the growth model that we have. So that's something we have in mind. Needless to say, we have to work on the selection and concentration of businesses. So as a capital model, this has the good meaning. However, if we try to be too selective, we are not God. So it is important to pay more attention to that. There could be many more changes that would surround us. So if we try to focus too much, then that would lead to us taking the huge risks. So that is something we have to be careful. We have to strike a big, good balance. Cash cow and the growth model should be combined. The multiples could be the 10 times at most for the cash cow. And then we could have something that is growth in nature. So the multiple would be much higher than 10 times. So the combination of these two are very important. Thank you. The third row, who is raising hand beside Mr. Kamada? Noguchi from Nikkei. I have three questions. One is the projection for 2019. So the net income, the profit. So the 150 billion yen for the operating profit, and at this moment you say zero. So could you tell us a bit about the kind of your projection about the losses, and then about the LNG, if there is the negative the value for the sales proceed? I feel sorry to ask you this question, but would you go down to the red ink? So the 150 billion yen operating income and the net profit of zero yen. So I'm sure you have the concern here. And then in the next plan, the Toshiba next plan, there were some assumptions. But now we do not have that assumption. It is zero at this moment. So that's a reason. And also, to a certain extent, the non-operating profit or the non-operating loss has been confirmed. So this is something we always have to live with. And then also one more thing, especially for the conciliation. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is impossible to enjoy the deferred payment of the tax. So that's the special situation surrounding us. And then sometimes the equity method, sometimes based on the equity method, we have to eliminate some of the figures. So that's the reason why we have zero. So about the LNG, there could be some red ink you have to suffer from, some deficit. Well, sometimes if we have to pay rather than receive money, then that will lead to the deficit. Then about the dividend, it is unknown at this moment. But could you tell us a bit more about it compared with last year? Are you planning to increase that, or are you planning to maintain the same figures? Are there anything that you have in mind at this moment about the amount of money that can be distributed in the dividend? I talked about that earlier. And then we try to make sure that we have stable dividend payment. That's the policy we have. I'd like to say that at this moment. And then the third question, I'm sorry, I continue asking, about your the discussion with the King Street. King Street might make a proposal at the general shareholders meeting to the effect that they will make a proposal of them suggesting that one of their directors should be the outside director for Toshiba. Have you solved this issue? Well, this is this is something we negotiate with our shareholders, so I'm not able to speak about this. But if we had the planned for the shareholders meeting, I would have talked about it, so it is not here. It has not been presented at this moment. Anyone, the person who raised the hand in the first row, the fifth row, sorry. Sasai from Asahi Shimbun. This is a question to Chairman Mr. Kurumatani. You talked about hardware and software at this moment. And so your operating profit rate is very low. Could you tell us the reason why it is very low? So could you tell us your take on that? And earlier you talked about software part, cyber and physical. So you have been focusing on this issue of the combination between the cyber and physical. And then in the next plan, you talked about the progress of the Toshiba next plan centering around the batteries and others. And I think you have been very much focusing on the hardware. So could you tell us a bit more about how you are trying to think about the integration between hardware and software? Could you tell us a bit about how you proceed from now? Thank you. I'd like to answer the second question first. Mr. Shimada is responsible for the cyber business, so I'd like to ask him to answer your question later on. So the business model is the most important thing we have. So we will say we will do this, and then at the time when we disclose that information, then that means that business. That's everything we would do. So it is very difficult, if not impossible, to disclose what we do. That's the kind of thing which is unique to the cyber business. So I had difficulty making decision about how to make an explanation to you at this meeting. But as was mentioned, this would lead to the high level of the corporate value. So that's a kind of business model we are able to establish, and we have been able to identify some of the opportunities here. So we try to be agile in making business cases for them so that all the people in the industry would be able to enjoy that or evaluate this. So we are in the process of working on it. Mr. Shimada, well, nothing more to add. As has been mentioned, the cyber-physical integration is always dependent on the business model. So when we make an announcement, everything should be made clear. So without that, we are not able to make any announcement. However, there are many ideas, and also we have concrete actions being taken. So that's something we are able to report at this moment. Thank you. And also, going back to the first question, could you repeat yourself? Why is it that you have the very low level of operating profit rate? So, about the operating profit rate, the figure that we would have would be 800 billion yen, so that would be 2%. So, as has been explained with the waterfall analysis, if it is under 20 billion, then that would be 2%. So the sales sometimes has the very low profit rate, and that means that Toshiba was not able to have this kind of sales amount. And then looking at the turnaround cases in major companies in the entire world, it is difficult to increase the sales with the very low level of capacity, then in that situation, the recovery would not be realized. This has been already proven. So even if the sales would be sacrificed, we try to make sure that the operating profit should be raised. So operating profit rate should be raised. So I'm talking about 140 billion yen, and this would include the expenses for the structural reform. And then if we are able to complete that, then we will not have to have expenditures for structural reforms. Then we will be able to have the much better structural, much better situation. So step by step, we will increase the figure to 4%, 5%, and 6%. Personally, I look at Toshiba, and Toshiba is now trying to do things in a complete manner. So I'm sure Toshiba would be able to complete everything that it has in mind perfectly. So we have our plans, and so I think it is important to fulfill our target one by one. Thank you. But you have been talking about the investment, especially for hardware. So this, do you think this had been the reason why you had very low level of the operating profit rate? Well, we have been taking risks. For example, the nuclear power, even if we injected the capital, the risk was really high. So if we incorporated the risk, then we had to have a very high level of the operating profit rate. So it wouldn't have made sense mid-term and long-term. And also the house appliances, also same holds true. So we should have looked into this with the risks. Then in that situation, we should have had a much higher level of operating profit rate. And then it was not high enough. That's the reason why, because of the risks, we had to suffer losses. So what I'm talking about is to focus more on the portfolio with low level of risks, and then necessary capital would be injected into that area, and then necessary operating profit rate would be secured. That's what I said.
So there will be some potential risk that we might not be able to understand at the very beginning. And in terms of the business model that we were pursuing in the past, did not cover the unknown potential risk. So starting from last fiscal year, we decided to shift gears and move on to more viable business model. And as mentioned by Mr. Shimada, the capital investment can be low. However, the profitability is very high. And so the business model is quite different from the past business model that we have pursued. So we want to combine two together to come up with one equation. You mentioned that some businesses have very low OPM, and I understand that you will be pursuing nuclear power business here in Japan. And the policy is very unknown, and it is very difficult to forecast what will evolve in the future. And people talk about the restructuring of the industry as a whole. So what is your take on this? We are the plant construction company, so we have maintenance business, and we will continue that. And we do like to continue taking the responsibility in Japan as well. And regarding overseas business, we would like to cater to the needs of the current customers. But given the construction business, there is a major risk. So we cannot invest our capital in the construction leg of the nuclear power business. That's what I'm saying. And a second row from the front on the right. I am Yasui of UBS Securities. I have three questions. First question. This fiscal year, you mentioned that you want to realize 25 billion yen, a positive impact for procurement transformation. And Hitachi transformation project, and I don't know whether this will be a good benchmark for you, but they were able to reduce the cost. But in the midterm that they have shared, they were not able to have a positive impact on the net sales/profit. profit. And so even though the cost is reduced, that does not necessarily translate to the profit. And so in terms of energy and infrastructure, if you reduce the cost, maybe you might not be able to address the demand and needs of the customer. You mentioned that you can enjoy a 25 billion yen positive impact of the reduction of procurement. But how does that translate to the bottom line? When conducting this project, I actually pointed that the very notion. So by reducing the procurement cost, and maybe if that is completely offset by the selling price, that will not be a viable equation for us. So we tried to review the details and regarding 25 billion yen reduction of the procurement. And I don't want to refer to other companies' cases, but we did go through the exercise in the past, so we understand that we can manage the overall landscape and reduce the cost. Page 9, you have the elevator chart, and 15 billion yen was the positive impact closing FY18. And so if that's the case, you could have translated that into a profit. So do you think regarding 15 billion yen of procurement transformation, I guess 35.2 is the final figure that you have mentioned. And in terms of one-off cost as well as a structural reform cost, there's 15 billion yen. So it seems that you have not completely leveraged on the positive impact. And can you tell me what is your take closing FY18? Page 9. The price went down by 12 billion, and procurement cost was reduced by 15 billion. And therefore, you understand that these two offset each other. And maybe that is a macroeconomic point of view that you have. But in terms of price reduction, talking about hard disk, the logistics service did not grow as we have expected, and also PC-oriented business price reduction was very deep. So, talking about hard disk, if we pursue cost reduction, we need to enjoy larger volume logistics. And the supplier will not agree to the price reduction. And because the volume did not increase, hard disk-wise, it did not contribute positively to the overall figure. In terms of procurement transformation, infrastructure solutions and other businesses contributed positively. So from the company as a whole, you might think that the positive impact of procurement cost reduction was not felt. But then if you look by business, you see a different story. Second question. 3 years down the road, in terms of the operating profit, you are aiming at more than 200 billion yen. And in November, you gave the explanation, and the 50, 80 billion and 65 procurement, and the third one is the increase of sales. These three will actually contributing to the realization of 200 billion yen. Do you think there will be a positive impact more than you have expected, or what is your take for now? I already answered in the previous question, but if we can realize 140 billion yen this year, and that means that during this quarter and this fiscal year, we have factored in the impacts of restructure. And at the same time, internally, we are conducting procurement transformation, and we are reorganizing our manufacturing operations. And through different CFTs, we have positive impacts. And when we factor all those in, regarding the three-year plan, I believe that we are steadily heading toward the objective. The third question, in terms of the new board of directors, looking at the career background, many of them seems to work for different funds, such as Mr. Bro and Mr. Weizmann, as well as Mr. Black and Mr. Zage. And it seems that they belong or used to work at different funds. So is there any intention in choosing them as the candidates, and they are close to the capital market? 70% of our shareholders are from overseas, and I have mentioned that, and that's in the backdrop. And needless to say, we have long-only shareholders as well, and at the same time, we have mid- to short-term investors as well. But all in all the shareholders want us to increase our EV, and from that vantage point, I believe that we are on the same page. We have dialogue with them very often. So regarding the sharing of information regarding EV, the executives and board of directors get together to conduct a dialogue with them, and I do not think that there is any misalignment. So we need to hear the voices of the market as well as the shareholders, and perhaps not direct shareholders, but we need to have the outside directors with a perspective of international market. So we need to have one from long only and another from mid to short term. And other than that, in terms of the candidates, they have wide experience of business, and some candidate worked as the head of different accounting office. So M&A and reorganization of different entities are the experiences that they have. So nomination committee looked at different profile of the candidates, and we tried to identify who will fall into the defined profile that we are looking for. And that's how we ended up with the list. We are running out of time, so one final question. So, person raising a hand behind the camera.
My name is Inoue from Kyodo Press. As Kurumada-san mentioned, I'd like to confirm with you the progress of the restructuring about the optimization of the talent and the headcount. So I think the difference in the number is quite small, but what you announced last November, 7,000 in 5 years, that was the number you've announced. But now, would that 350 from LSI, would that be inclusive of that 7,000, or would it be on top of the 7,000? Also, is this the last venue in which you will be exploring the early retirement scheme? The 7,000 number, this has been placed right from the beginning. So this LSI, early retirement, so that is outside of that 7,000 framework. So because this is in line with the changes in the market, this is a new phenomenon, and that is why we came up with this initiative. So theoretically, this is outside of that 7,000 number. So right now, do you believe this early retirement scheme would be final? Would this be the last round? Personally, I would like to make this the last round. So given the current situation, our portfolio, as I mentioned before, it is, we have reduced the portfolio that is sensitive vis-a-vis the market cycle. So there is definitely a foreseeable nature of our portfolio. So we have been conducting measures to reduce the break-even point since November last year. And now we have taken some additional measures given the Chinese market into operation. So this is more of an immediate measures vis-a-vis the changes. Going forward, if we see more dramatic macroeconomic change, of course, no one can be sure that that would not happen. So with the absence of such dramatic changes in macroeconomics, I believe this plan, this current standing would be suffice. Another about the battery business. So April onwards, you will make it under direct management of Toshiba. So I cannot actually picture that clearly. So you would like to have 400 billion under the Toshiba Next plan. So what is the current sales magnitude, and what is the operating income you have in mind? In terms of the number, we do not disclose them right now. Therefore, it will be difficult for me to share with you the numbers. But the reason why we made it directly under management of Toshiba is because I personally think this is a very promising business. And as mentioned, so of course, this is a kind of business. There is high risk once it becomes commoditized. But once the demand spikes, then we may have to decide on large-scale investment for CapEx. So in that regard, we need to expedite and we need to be more accurate with the decision-making so we can continue to secure our differentiating nature. And we need to conduct investment accordingly. So we have to make sure that it would not build a business model that is capital-heavy and commoditized. So I believe as headquarters, we have responsibility to do so. And that is precisely the reason why we put it directly under the management of the parent company. But as a whole, the market itself is definitely launching. So I believe we're making progress as expected. Did that answer your question? Thank you. So with that, we would like to conclude the explanatory session. Thank you very much for your participation today. We are 2 minutes ahead of time, but we would now like to start the Q&A session for the year ended March 2019, specifically for the analysts and also to the institutional investors. So we'd like to introduce the participants, Mr. Masayoshi Hirata, Representative Executive Officer and Corporate Executive Vice President, and also Mr. Yasuhiro Matsunaga, Group Manager of Accounting Division. Finally, Mr. Kohei Hayashi, Head of Investor Relations Team. We would now like to take your questions. Those of you with questions, would you please raise your hand, and we will bring the microphone to you. Please state yourself and your affiliation and pose your question. So the person in the forefront. My name is Moriyama from J.P. Morgan. I have one question. You talked about the loss-making contracts. So for energy system solution for FY 2019, I'd like to confirm with you some of the assumptions behind that. You've mentioned for FY 2019, it's increased by 10 billion due to restructuring and procurement, plus of 5 billion, and also 12 billion for the rest. So you have given us a number for the sector. So in terms of a thermal and T&D, I believe you have some idea relative to income and also the procurement. So for the thermal and also T&D, if you can give us a breakdown of the gross profit and income by sector. And also 25 billion of the loss-making contracts, you've mentioned that you cannot further break it down. But in light of some of the newly arise phenomenon in Q3 and Q4, if you can give us more color, that would be helpful. About the first question for 2018 to 2019, about the energy system, its improvement in the energy system, I believe that was the nature of your question. So page 37, in page 37, we have the numbers. How should I answer your question? So in terms of nuclear, in terms of OP, negative 2.8, and thermal and water, it's a plus 20.7. So about 18 billion of improvement we are expecting for those two subsegments combined together. Also in terms of restructuring, So these are rounded numbers. But so it may not add up to the overall energy system solution number, but so for the restructuring effect, it's about 7 billion yen, and that is the expectation. Again, for nuclear and thermal, can I actually combine this together in terms of the discussion? Because internally, when we talk about power, we are consolidating those two sub-segments together. So hopefully you can allow me to discuss on this together for nuclear and thermal. So 7 billion altogether for restructuring, and for procurement, about 2 billion of effect. And the remainder is related to increase and decrease in the net sales, and also a better mix, better product mix. So that would be the remainder of the reason. Also, in terms of T&D business, so for restructuring, it accounts for 2 billion. Procurement accounts for, again, 2 billion. And the remainder, so we have 1 billion coming from the increase in the net sales. But remainder, we have provisioned quite a lot allowance in 2018. So for 2019, there will be an absence of the provisioning. So 21 billion of the loss-making contracts, majority is a T&D then. Yes, it is, 28 billion. That is primarily T&D. Are there any other questions? The person at the by the window. My name is Miyamoto from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley. I have three questions. First question is related to CapEx, the breakdown of CapEx by sector, which I think there was a page giving us the breakdown of the CapEx. So this is page 36, I believe. Page 36. So based on this number, what is the increasing? And if you can give us item by item, what will be increased, what will be decreased? You're talking about FY 2019. Yes. Well, the plan, the comparison from last year as opposed to this year, what will be increased and what will be decreased? In terms of the energy systems and solution, there will be a slight decline. So from 31 to 20 billion or so. Last year in 2018, we had investment towards biomass power generating facility. But this year, we expect to see an absence of the investment in biomass. That is the reason for the decline in CapEx for energy systems and solution. Now, for infrastructure systems and solutions, overall, the business is doing well, so this is to accommodate capital expenses, capacity expansion. So we expect to see more orders intake. Now, for the building solutions, for railway system, the electric components, the orders for these is expected to rise for FY 2019 and also beyond. So we need to invest in it to expand our capacity. Also for HVAC, air conditioning, we expect to see changes. So for these electric components and HVAC, of course, we are engaged in that business in 2018, but that would also be continued into 2019. Hence, the numbers been factored in. Also, for device and storage, there hasn't been much of a change in CapEx between those 2 years, but there will continue to be investment in discrete, so capacity expansion on the discrete front, and also for the hardware, for the nearline, we expect to increase our capacity. Also, for the others segment, as mentioned, it's relative to SCIB. Of course, we invested somewhat in 2018. but we expect to see an increase in investment for SCIB in 2019. Also, internally, Mr. Kurumatani mentioned about our IT system within the company. So we also need to make investment in 2019. So that is why we are seeing a slight increase in the CapEx for the other segment. So SCIB, how much would that account for it? Unfortunately, we cannot disclose the number specifically for SCIB. Actually, this is related to the third question. In India, you are launching a new plant under equity method, so you are expecting to increase in the capacity. So would that be part of the investment, or have you already invested already, so there would be no additional cash out? How have you realized this investment in India? I'd like to confirm that number and share the information later. Thank you. The second question is about the memory business. Just a confirmation. So this is page 26. So on a full-year basis, the impact, so we have the normal income and also PPA. So if you were to look at Q4 only, so the normal income would be increased by 32 billion. And PPA would be negative of 74 billion. Is my number right? So, of course, if you were to look at the overall number, yes, I think you can actually calculate that number out. Yes. So you have no guidance for this year, but the negative of 74 billion times 4, would that be the possible effect we expect to see in terms of a PPA? Yes, that sounds right. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? So the person in the back, the someone who's raising their hand in front of the screen.
Thank you. Izumi from SBI Securities. Please refer to page 30. This is about the free cash flow and the net cash. Could you tell us a bit about the projection for this year? Compared with the Toshiba next plan, there has been the difference. So could you tell us a bit about the reason behind the changes? And also about the net cash, 900 billion to the 170 billion, there should be a decrease. And so there could be the equity, the stock buyback, and also some other issues. Could you give us a reason here? About the free cash flow, the negative 230 billion and also 190 billion negative, which had been explained last year in fall. What is the difference between the two? That is a question, I guess. In the February, March 2018, especially for energy system for 2019, we were expecting to have a collection of figures. So the advance payment had been made in February and March. So logically, the cash flow for 2019 would be negative. That's the reason why we presented this figure in this way. I might not have to speak about this in details, but for 2019, we will continue working on the energy systems, and we'd like to negotiate with our customers. So we'd like to make sure that the running the capital be taken care of by the advances given by our customers. That's the kind of system we'd like to realize. We are very appreciative for these customers who are collaborating with us. And then the interest-bearing debt, there are many different factors associated with this, but broadly speaking, 300 billion yen this is about the end of March 2020. So the conclusion here is that we are seeing the decrease of the negative figures for the interest-bearing debt. So this is a positive news. For the sale of energy, Well, back then, it was about 90 billion yen plus of the cash out. That was the projection last year in fall. But at this moment, we do not know the figures. So the figure has not been incorporated. So that's the difference. That's the reason why it is much lower. About the stock buyback, in the Toshiba Next Plan incorporated that figure. So we were planning that this 700 billion yen will be completed by the end of March. But here, our plan at this moment is that we will complete the 700 billion yen by the end of November. There is no change here. Net cash position has been decreased drastically. Could you tell us the reason why there has been the sharp decline? So other than the stock buyback, for one thing, in the disclosed document, well, this has not been taken care of in the previous session about the subordinated loan. With the repayment of the subordinated loan, the figure stands at 180 billion yen. And in June, we'll have the rollover time. So basically, we will continue doing this for 60 years. So 10 years ago, we started doing this, if I remember correctly. And then the equity, the equity has been improved, and they have been many positive things, and also rollover this time would be costly. So we decided to repay 180 billion yen, and that's included here. And then also the corporate bond, and also the general borrowing. So we pay based on the due dates. All these are included here. Does it answer your question? Yes. Any other questions? Person in the first row beside the window. Hirakawa from Merrill Lynch. I have two questions. One, in the page 3 of the supplementary document, so the performance, the indicators for the segment, for energy systems, infrastructures, and you see the increase. So that means that the sales of the infrastructure system is increasing. But maybe there could be some more positive factors. Could you tell us a bit about the background here? And could you also share with us your projection for the future? Thank you. Well, about the infrastructure system solution, compared with 1 year ago, there has been an increase of the 60 billion. So from the 361.4 to 469.8. And so we have been working on the securitization and of 10 billion. Well, actually, we decided not to continue doing this by 10 billion. So that might be the reason why we see it apparently seems larger than it really is. Thank you. My second question. Again, I raise this question about the procurement cost. You have been working on the procurement reform and the 15 billion yen worth of the effect. And then at the initial, the beginning of the term, what was the amount you had in mind? Could you tell us a bit about it? That's all. Thank you. When you say beginning of the term, you are talking about the beginning of the 2018? Yes. So when I say, well, we saw this figure of 15.1 billion yen, and it's so abrupt. So, well, for the year 2018, we did not calculate the figure. So that may be the reason why you see this as an abrupt figure. So, broadly speaking, about 10 billion yen was always there. So for the profit and loss, 10 billion yen had been the impact we had every year. And then about the 5 billion yen, especially, they are very much related to the indirect materials. But as was mentioned earlier, in the Toshiba Next Plan, when we started out our initiatives for the procurement reform, it was effective, rapidly effective, since we were able to collaborate with the suppliers. So that means that we were able to enjoy fruits for that. So initially, maybe our projection was 10 billion yen, and then the 5 billion was added on top of that. So total figure is 15 billion. Thank you very much. So additional question here. So if that is the case, then maybe I might have difficulty understanding what you just said. So in 2019, you have the reform of the procurement for 15 billion. And that means that the 10 billion is something you already have, and then you will have about 15 billion, which is quite new. Yes, that's my understanding as well. When you say general for 10 billion, it is rather misleading. So this is based on the tremendous effort of the employees. So, but still, we can simply say that we have it, this figure of 10 billion all the time, and then extra effort will be made for 10 billion, and also for the indirect materials, that would be 5 billion. That's the kind of image I have as well. Thank you very much. Moving on, the person in the second row who is raising his or her hand. Thank you very much for your explanation. My name is Icha. I'm from the Ashida. I'm from Daiichi Securities. For the projection and actual, about the NAND, resale of NAND memory products. So could you tell us a bit about the figures, about and also except for the resale of memory products, what is the projection for this term? Thank you for your question. Well, this detail of the resale of memory products, well, we do have a figure, but this is not, unfortunately, this is not a kind of information we disclose, generally speaking.
Well, in FY19, I think the number will be almost zero. Well, so regarding FY18, it will be above 100 billion yen, I believe. You're talking about the net sales, right? Yes. In Q4, and in terms of Q1 to Q3, it was about 30 billion. And on a quarterly basis, the range was about 30 billion. And so in Q4, it is about the same range. And you're talking about the resale? Yes. Yes. We followed the same pattern in Q4. So given that, from the first quarter of FY19, there will be nil. Well, it's not completely zero per se, but then and the number will not be that high as to call for any attention. So X resale regarding hard disk, you plan to have an increase in net sales? Yes, year on year, we plan to have increase in net sales. So if you look at the price and the volume, do you think the mix of the product being sold is different, and what is the price within those category mix? I think there will be some level of price reduction, but then we will enjoy an increase of volume year on year. So in FY19, the demand for data center applications will recover in the second half, and at the same time, we can actually sell to the U.S.-based data center company. So I think we will be able to steadily grow our share within that client. Thank you. A second question about R&D. In the supplementary information, page 5, vis-à-vis last year, you plan to increase by 12.5 billion yen. So in on page 31, you show the waterfall chart that show the increase of OP. And in that OP, this $12.5 billion is reflected. Would you please give me a moment? Well, regarding this increase, I guess we have combined fixed as well as variable cost. There are some negative factors, and then the point that you have mentioned is included as a negative factor. So it is included in net increase slash decrease. So $12.5 billion can be offset, and in reality, net impact-wise, it is larger. Yes, so HDD is included. Yes, you're right. I have so many different information at hand, so let me see. Actually, regarding ESS-related figures, we included increase of R&D, and also product mix improvement has been factored in. ESS in particular, in FY18, the products with low margin will be eliminated in FY19, and that is factored in. So the major parameter is one-off cost. So there were loss-making contracts, but those are eliminated as well. And also HDD, there will be net sales increase, and also there will be other net increase contributing factor as well, and those are all incorporated in this number. Last question. And it is related to the previous question on free cash flow. You have the repayment of subordinated loan, and I guess you mentioned about that. And that's included in the investing activities of cash flow? No. It's in net interest-bearing debt. And actually, it's in the cash and cash equivalent section. I see. Okay, thank you. So if I may add, in terms of net interest-bearing debt, regarding subordinated loan, with a reduction of net interest debt, there will be decrease of cash and cash equivalents. And regarding the increase driver from FY19, a lease accounting principle will be applied. So in terms of $150 billion, which was a lease item, which was off balance, will be on balance from FY19. I see. Thank you. One more question about battery. You will have additional cash out, most probably in overseas operations. Did you factor that in, or there is no possibility of having further cash out for battery? Any other? No. The answer is no. So is there any question? So a person sitting in the front again. This is my second round. My name is Hiraka of Merrill Lynch Securities. Regarding the six-month operational report on page 16, you mentioned about your endeavor to reduce a major loss-making project. And this is very easy to understand, but regarding the major loss-making project, what is the proportion being generated by these projects in the thermal power business? Is it like 10% or 20% or 30%? Well, we haven't analyzed from that vantage point in the past. This is just the ballpark figure. But I guess 30% is registered by loss-making projects. Did I answer your question? Any other question? Person sitting in the front? On page 20, you mentioned about the track record of industrial ICT, and you had the decrease in net sales because you sold your subsidiary that catered to the SMEs. And so in FY18, sales, was there any increase in net sales? And what is the impact of this selling of the subsidiary company? And regarding FY19, you have a plan for the increase in net sales. So what is the plan behind this number? Well, regarding the sales of this company that we had sold off, about 12 billion. And I'm talking about FY18 number. So regarding FY19, you want to know why we plan to increase net sales. Industrial ICT-wise, you have the net sales increase, and I understand that manufacturing as well as a public sector boosted the net sales. And in FY19, you plan to have net sales increase and 3%, and that's on page 33. And digital solution-wise, there was segment reorganization. So fundamental-wise, I believe that the situation will not change. In FY19, public sector and manufacturing sector, we already have a definitive pipeline. And in FY19, in FY18, we got the loss are making a profit, and we have lessons learned from that, and we are actually generating profit from new projects. And regarding industrial ICT solution, I personally do not have any concern regarding FY19, and I believe that we can enjoy the profit indicated here, or maybe we might be able to enjoy higher bottom line. And in terms of a digital solution, there will be a positive 5 billion yen increase. And so you believe that net sales will generate a higher profit, and that's already factored in? We have a risk buffer for a different business unit, and I believe that we can increase more net sales as well as profit, but we have to see how it will evolve in the future and look at the actual number in the end of the day. So, second row, person sitting by the window, please.
My name is Yasui from UBS. I have three questions relative to LNG. So, conventionally, you have 50% already contracted. But I think at one point, I think you had 80% of contract ratio. I think that was the explanation provided in the past. What is the current state now in terms of the contract? Or at the beginning of FY 2020, would the contract ratio be 80%? Or would it be 50%? I'd just like to confirm that. So this is the LNG customers? So you're talking about the how well do you have the visibility on the customers then? Yes. So we have been engaging in selling off the business. So we have been refraining from gaining orders from the customers. So right now we are still trending at the same level. So perhaps at the FY 2020, if we still hold on to this business, perhaps the contract ratio would be somewhat low, about 50%, yes. The second question is, again, related to LNG. So today's press mentioned that you are engaging in about 10 companies for the negotiation for the selling off. Could you disclose any more color about the current state? I think Mr. Kurumatani explained about this already. We cannot give you more information than what has been said already. So aside from the fact that whether we're engaging with negotiation with 10 companies or not, we do see a lot of prospect as buyers. So we are quite encouraged by this prospect. This last question related to LNG. So LNG, I think it is treated as a discontinued operations. Is there a possibility it would be realized at the very bottom line of the PL? Would that be a possibility? The assumption here is to sell off the business. So once it is sold off, we would not discuss on that front at all. But of course, it is hard to tell at this moment because we don't know what would happen at the end of this fiscal term. But if it's going to be sustained for some time, it should be treated within the normal operating income line. But you have the intent to sell, then would you identify as a discontinued operation? Well, unless we have a high prospect that it would be sold off or not, it would not be treated as discontinued operation because if we do not see any prospect buyers, then it should not be treated as discontinued operations. Any other questions? The person by the window. Mitsubishi UFJ, Miyamoto. I have one additional question about the reclassification of the segments. I just want to confirm the number. So in the railway system, the battery would be reallocated to the industrial batteries. And other materials, HDD and so semiconductors would be reclassified to HDD and others. Is my understanding correct? So if that is the case, then the results number shows for FY 2018 shows for the railways and industrial system, the revenue would come down by 12 billion or several tens billions. So I think there is a difference here. So the differential, would that account for the deficit of the battery business? I leave that up to your imagination. So also in terms of the materials and device, so HDD and others. So should we consider that as difference from HDDs and others then? Yes, apologies for being really ambiguous here, but are there any other questions? The person in the back? Damian from Macquarie. So the elevator business, you're expecting 8% for this year. So I'd just like to confirm that, especially in China, the elevator business, the demand in China, it's mostly for low-end elevators, but you're expecting 8% boost in the sales. It seems fairly aggressive to me. So what are some of the assumptions behind this? Would China be the only driver, or are you looking into India and Southeast Asia, for instance? So what is the expectation ex-China in terms of the market demand? So 8% is the plan. So given the business sentiment in China, you may feel that it is rather aggressive. But how can I say this? Of course, I don't want to boast on this, but the elevator share was in China for Toshiba. It's not so large. So the overall market size is flat, or maybe it would not be reduced, but at least it is safe to say that the growth ratio would not be as strong as before. So we expect to see a gradual increase in the market share, which is low at this moment. Also in the domestic front, various buildings are underway with their construction. So we do see opportunities in the domestic front. So we'd like to receive orders and increase the sales. So Tokyo 2020, that may not be the only opportunity, but even in the future, we believe there is a brisk demand for buildings. So we will definitely strive to capture that. I have one additional question about the building solutions. So 36 billion of OP. The breakdown of this, the elevators, HVAC, and so forth. Do you have the breakdown of this 36 billion? Yes, we do have the breakdown internally, but we cannot share that with you. Apologies. Any other questions? The person's the third row. Thank you very much for the explanation. My name is Yoshizumi from SMBC Nikko. I have one question. This is relative to Toshiba Next Plan. I just want to confirm the assumption. So in 5 years, CapEx of 800 billion yen, so that would be doubled. I think that was the discussion. So CapEx, it was turning about 400 billion, but now it would be around 800 billion. This is CapEx, capital expenditure, in 5 years. So 400 billion would be increased to 800 billion. So I believe there would be a spike in the depreciation. So within the Toshiba Next Plan, where are you seeing increase in the depreciation? So we do have the breakdown, but where exactly is it located in terms of the increase in the depreciation? So, of course, we will be discrete, will be one area, we will be expanding the capacity. So, of course, that was a plan for FY 2019. So also railway system, HDD, and also for the battery system. In Kashiwazaki operations, we are expanding the capacity. Also, in Yokohama, we will be installing a new capacity. So in this growth fields, we will be investing more. Also, for within group use, we would also invest in the IT system for in-house use. So next year, there would be some the level will be subsided. But this year, this will be somewhat subsided. But next year onwards, we will expect to increase our investment for our internal IT system. So depreciation will be on the rise. So we do factor that in within the Toshiba Next Plan. Apologies, maybe my question wasn't clear. This year's depreciation cost is at 80 billion yen for this year. So if you're going to double the CapEx on a mid- to long-term basis, would the depreciation cost would also double or at least somewhat closer to doubling? That is my take. Also, it was in the Next Plan, the cost and the depreciation cost increase wasn't quite clear, was in the waterfall analysis. So I think it is probably offsetted by other factors, but it just wasn't visible from outside. So how should we perceive this?
Listening to what was mentioned, I said to myself that maybe it is better to separate the fixed cost and the non-fixed cost. So we see this in the depreciation in this area of the fixed cost. Any other questions? No more questions? Well, it is time. So we'd like to close the Q&A session. Thank you very much.